Turkey, Tokyo, Australia, Germany.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. I'm back. It's about a minute past the hour, a little more than that, really. This is Monday, the 6th day of February, 2017. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. And that, of course, is where you go if you'd like to jump into the chat room. Folks are right there, right on time, waiting for you. Just click on chat room, pick yourself out a screen name and a password, and jump in where Don from Central PA and Hoghead, Jugga Punch, and VT Blum will all greet you ecstatically, even. And you will be capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator, Sparky, who apparently does not see the value in folding space this evening, even though he is a third stage guild navigator, to become man cave. Yes. Hi. After a week's absence, I'm still Bob Kincaid. And I am thrilled to pieces to be home. Because it was, honest to Pete, it was a week of hard work. I mean, yeah, it was really pretty tough. Nobody was toting barges or lifting bales or anything. But it was busy. It was intellectually challenging. And I'll tell you this much. It was also beneficial. We got accomplished what we went to do. And among other things, it gave me an opportunity to get some sense of the mood of the nation's capital as well. Because, you know, it really is what... Our little community is a little bubble of sorts. That's not necessarily pejorative. It's just that we communicate with each other, and so we sort of amplify each other's thoughts, our emotions. And so I thought it would be interesting when I got to D.C. You know, I always talk to people when I'm in D.C. Funny that way. And I thought there might be some benefit in trying to see if the mood in D.C. was as, and this is a technical term, freaked out as what we are in our community at the ongoing desiccation, we'll get to that in a minute, of this once great nation. Mm-hmm. Let me simply say that if you think you're freaked out, you ain't seen nothing till you've talked to people in D.C. I mean, it's like the day the earth stood still up there without the Klaatu Barada Nikto, okay? People on the street, people in offices, everybody is freaked out. And nobody really knows what's coming next. And, of course, last week, you know, all the interesting stuff happens while I'm gone. But, Bowling Green Massacre? I mean, just for starters? And the various and sundry insanities of... Wow. I stopped on the way home in Manassas, because there's a Popeye's fried chicken in Manassas, and that's a weakness of mine. And so I got some Popeye's to take home. Agnes enjoys it, too. Ferg loves it. And lo and behold, one lone individual on the main road off the interstate in Manassas, that urban sprawl out there. One guy all by himself, just carrying a sign up and down a sidewalk on that four-lane racetrack. No travel ban, his sign said. That was it. And I mean, people in D.C. are nervous. They don't know what's coming next. And I think as far as the Trump people are concerned, that's by design. If people are kept rocked on their heels, they're much more likely to be bowled over by whatever it is they need to bowl us over with. But it was instructive, it was interesting, and it was a success. And thanks to everybody who helped make it possible by helping us to keep up with fundraising for last week, I can happily announce that we nudged the Norsky and licked the Lithuanian, pursuant to the two year-long challenges posed by Chris in Germany and Marcy. So we've done our first month of Norsky nudging and Lithuanian licking, and we're just at a fresh starting place for this evening. You know, of course, that we try to raise $200 every evening just to keep all of this going, keep the bills paid, that kind of thing. And since, in fact, this is the first broadcast of the month of February, I should note that Shirley's Challenge is on the table this evening. The first broadcast of the month always brings Shirley's Challenge. And so that means the first $200 that come in will all get doubled. And thanks, of course, always go out to our subscribers, including, but not limited to, well, it's a long list. But thank you very kindly to Randy for being first past the post at the beginning of every month. Thanks, Randy. Thank you very kindly. And so we've just got $200 to raise this evening. You know the usual drill. 1 at 200, 2 at 100, 4 at 50, 8 at 25, 16 at 1250, 32 at 6 and a quarter, or 64 at $3.13, because we rounded up from $3.12.5, and we put that last half penny, we just put that on Agnes's masseur tab. But any way you want to, the PayPal interface is over there at headonradionetwork.com, and you're on this first broadcast of the month of February. Your 5 becomes 10, 10, 20, 20, 40, etc., up to a grand total of $200, courtesy of Shirley in Wisconsin. So just go there, and if you'd like to become a monthly subscriber, you are mightily welcome to be one. It is genuinely and sincerely appreciated, and it's a big part of what keeps all of this going. If you prefer the United States Postal Service, of course, yeah, you're free to use that. The mailing address for checks and money orders is The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, Beckley, WV, 25801. Thank you very kindly, Asa, letting me know loud and clear in snowy, yet-to-turn-fascist Canada. It's good to know you're there. Because, well,
we're turning fascist. No, we're fascist now. We really are. But just to update you real quick on what happened, on Wednesday, the first day of February, the AIC Act, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act, was reintroduced by the good efforts of Representative John Yarmuth of Kentucky. Represents an area, a district in Louisville. Most of Louisville, I dare say. And it came at a time, I don't know how many of you have seen the video, it was quite compelling. It came at a time when they were having floor debate in the House of Representatives, and for the first time I actually went through the great big giant no kidding oh my god hassle of getting to go and watch floor debate. And so we watched as the debate took place on the Republican effort to, and you're probably familiar with this bet by now, the Republican effort to repeal the stream protection rule. We've talked about the stream protection rule in the past, and they used a... And it seems like it always goes this way, a little-known and seldom-used procedure in order to destroy it. The Congressional Review Act is seldom used, little-known. I mean, the descriptions are correct. And it comes down to us from the era of Bill Clinton, when it was passed and he signed it into law, so that if it just so happened that some regulatory agency got all out of hand and went a little, you know, funny in the head, that Congress could step in, invoke the Congressional Review Act. If it was invoked by both sides and signed into effect by the president, then the Congress would go in and look at the administrative rule, the regulation in question, and then fix whatever was wrong. I mean, let's say there was a regulation out there that said all schools must have a shotgun. No, let's make it up. No. All schools must have a 30-06 with a 4x12 scope on it so as to protect the school children against attacks by rabid weasels. Well, obviously, a 30-06 is too much gun. And so the Congress could go in there and they could correct it, and they could, if they invoked the Congressional Review Act, they could, and it was signed into law by the president, that invocation, they could then have a certain period of time to go in and fix the regulation and replace rabid weasel with grizzly bear. And then suddenly you might not have enough gun with that 30-06 with the 4x12 scope. Or maybe you would gun down and go with, say, 223 to take down the rabid weasel, although that might still be too much gun. But it was meant to make it possible to fix obvious problems without having to go through the tortured comment process and really lengthy, drawn-out process that attaches to most administrative rulemaking. It was not meant for the purpose of partisan ideological hissy fits, which is what the stream protection rule engendered. But there we sat in the gallery, which, by the way, I should note, has a god-awful sound system. I mean terrible. Horrible. You could barely hear what was being said by either side. And it's not that big a room, really, either. the House chamber. It tends to echo really badly. The acoustics are awful. Really, we should work on this. But we sat there and watched the debate as my member of Congress, Evan Jenkins, R. Lobotomy, stood up and complained about how the Obama administration has killed 272 million bajillion Brazilian jobs in the coal industry with his Kenyan Muslim war on coal. And David McKinley, who does not represent any counties that are in the sacrifice zone, stood up and said, the stream protection rule was the Kenyan Muslim usurper's last nail in the coffin of his war on the coal industry, and we gotta get rid of it because it's got too many regulations for dumping poison in streams and capitalism. Baby Jesus. And the thing was managed by some creep from Utah. And, you know, in that process, that one side stands up and speaks, and the other side stands up and speaks. And because of parliamentary procedure, they never address each other. They address the Speaker of the House. And so if you're actually, in many ways, it's not even a debate. Because, you know, the Republicans would talk about war on coal. And the Democrats would stand up and say, but poison. And the Republicans would stand up and say, Kenyan Muslim. And the Democrats would stand up and say, cancer. And so all they really did was talk past each other. If you ever wonder why it's so difficult to deal with an issue in the Congress, that's one of the reasons. And that reason arises out of the fact that maybe once upon a time they did address each other, and the next thing you know, they were going at each other with walking sticks and canes and spittoons and whatever came to hand, because they could not be trusted to behave themselves. But eventually, and I should note, by the way, that the Democratic side of the debate was led by a man I consider to be a genuine progressive hero, and by that I mean Representative Raul Grijalva of Arizona. And he's full of fire, and he's got the fire and the fight that you want in a progressive leader. And in fact, he is the co-chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus alongside Keith Ellison. And he was one of the early co-signers of this reintroduction of the AIC Act, which I should note, for such time as you choose to reach out to your member of the House of Representatives, especially if you're a Democrat, but, you know, screw it. Tell the Republicans you want it too. Is H.R. 786. And, yeah, go ahead and tell your Republican representative you want it, because one of the things that was most annoying for me was the fact that my own member of Congress stood up and said to those assembled and those watching at home that I wanted the stream protection rule revoked, overturned, taken out behind the dumpster and beat to death with a crowbar. Obviously, I do not. The stream protection rule was meant to protect what few streams we have left, especially in the mountaintop removal sacrifice zone area, because they've already buried 2,000 miles of them. Bastards. Sons of bitches. Cock gobblers. assholes. Ooh. Sorry, had to kind of keep all that bottled up while I was in Washington, D.C., and it seems to be just bubbling out all at once. I don't support overturning the stream protection rule. I oppose it. The stream protection rule made perfectly good sense. But there was that lion sack of shit, Evan Jenkins, standing on the House floor, declaring that all the people of West, by God, Virginia, by God, they want to see this because we want some jobs. We want our 117 bajillion million Brazilian coal jobs back, just like we done didn't have in the first place, because coal doesn't employ that many people because it's a highly mechanized operation that doesn't involve much in the way of human labor anymore. But yeah. And of course, you know, all those jobs he was talking about, you got to understand the way they cheat. Let's say you're a guy who works in the Rippy Mart 30 miles from the demolition site, and every morning you go down to the Rippy Mart and you make up 15 bologna sandwiches, and you wrap them up in plastic. Some have mayo, some have mustard and mayo, maybe one of them. Anyway, those are coal jobs. I'll bet you didn't know it, but they are. Mm-hmm. So that was part of the jobs that all the West Virginians want. Right. So you can understand my frustration. But it was a historic moment because eventually Representative Yarmuth stood up. And he showed some pictures of mountaintop removal before and after. Verdant Appalachian forested hills from a flyover, you know, an aerial shot. Then he showed that same spot after the job creators had gotten done with it, at which point it looks like a dead and, well, I was going to say dead and lifeless, but that's redundant now, isn't it? It looks like a moonscape. It looks like a place that a crow would have to pack a lunch to fly across. And he said, well, so you're going to get rid of the stream protection rule. The least you can do is sign onto my bill, which I introduce here today, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act. And he brought with him a bottle of poisonous water, not taken out of a stream, not taken out of an impound or a settlement pond or anything, but actually gotten from the faucet of some real live, honest-to-God Kentuckians, really and honestly and for truly from Kentucky, that you would not drink on a dare. Because that's what John Yarmuth did. He dared the good God-fearing, Kolob-believing, I presume, representative from Utah behind the Zion Curtain. He said, look, you come take a swig of this, and I will recall my bill right now. And once he was done talking and had mentioned cancer, at the mention of the word cancer, the good God-fearing whatever Republican from Utah laughed. Yes, he did. He laughed at the mention of cancer and death. Because it's funny, don't you know? It's funny when poor hillbillies die. But of course, we're not surprised by that, are we? Of course we're not. Because, whatever. So that was a big part of it. I'm proud to say that, to the best of my knowledge, the AIC Act introduced this time with more co-sponsors than it has ever introduced with before. And so, to the extent that the AIC campaign is able, we will try to advance it and get more people on the bill. No, it's not going to pass this term. But it has to be kept viable for the day when the House goes back into the hands of Democrats and we can then pass it. Get it through committee and onto the floor. Pass it. Send it over to the Senate. We did some work in the Senate, too. And I have reason to believe that there will be interesting things afoot in the coming months. So, that was my week. How about yours? Thank you very kindly to Keith. Welcome home. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. And, you know, long about 10 a.m., 10:30 a.m. on Friday, I was clicking my little ruby slippers for all they was worth because I was sitting still on Interstate 66 westbound out of Washington, D.C., which is a really lousy place to have a breakdown. You know, I rented a car to go over there. I had a brand new Nissan Rogue. Not a bad car. I don't think I'd ever buy one, but not a bad automobile. I mean, it's no Maybach. But it was a comfortable ride up. I left here on Sunday with the snow beginning to fall. West Virginia got about, well, parts of West Virginia got some several up to like 5 inches of snow dumped on them. And all the flurries and everything quit as soon as I crossed out of West Virginia into Virginia. And it had an admirable Bluetooth sound system on it. And I tell you what, there's something uncanny about the way that that thing was randomly selecting my music. Because by the... So the way you go is you go to Beckley and you get on 64 and you go 64 eastbound down through Greenbrier County and you cross into like Rockbridge County, Virginia or some such. And you go on out to Lexington, where sits the campus of the Virginia Military Institute, whereat they still have the stuffed horse of the traitor, hyper-violent, radical Christian Thomas J. Stonewall Jackson, because he had been a professor at the Virginia Military Institute before he turned traitor. But there at Lexington, I-64 intersects with I-81. And I-81 is a bit of a racetrack, or it's at least, it's a busy, busy highway. And it's one of those, and I hate them, I hate these things, it's where you exit to the left and you come in the left bound, in the left, you know, in the left side passing lane. So you've really got to stomp it and go to the whip. It was the first vehicle I'd ever been that had the blind spot warning system. And I found I like that. I really, really do. But lo and behold, just as soon as I took that turn, one song was ending, another was beginning, and it, for some reason or another, it randomly selected the Allegro Monon Troppo from Beethoven's Ninth Symphony in D minor. So there I was, stomping my foot through the floorboard to get as much out of the squirrels under the hood of that Nissan Rogue as I possibly could. And immediately I hear the timpani go, bum-ba-da-dum, bum-ba-da-dum. And as I race up that on-ramp, Couldn't it? I there's not a jock in the world who could have programmed that more perfectly. It was the perfect, it was a perfectly managed segue. And so I roared on up I-81 listening to Beethoven and was pretty intrigued by the whole process, frankly. Got to D.C., parked the car for the week, didn't drive it. And then on Friday, got everything loaded in, got in the car, got, and, you know, all systems, you know, it's got a systems check on it. You turn the key on, bing, 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 and all systems were go. And so I took off out of D.C., crossed the Potomac there into Virginia on I-66, and began making my way homeward. With the theory operating that I had left in enough time to arrive home, say, about 4 o'clock, jump in the chair here in the studio and surprise y'all with a Friday on the front porch that you weren't even expecting. Because I really do miss being away from the microphone here and from y'all. This was not to be. Because just past the Rosslyn exit, slightly uphill, and at a curve in the road, bending to the right, long about mile marker, 73? I was on the phone with Agnes, using the Bluetooth hands-free system, of course. And I thought I heard somebody jackhammering nearby. And I said, wait a minute, honey. And then I realized it wasn't jackhammering. It was me. It was my Nissan Rogue making a decidedly James Thurber-esque noise. To wit, pocketa, 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 pocketa. And I said, honey, stand by. Houston, I think we have a problem. And I put on my flashers, and I got over into what passed for a shoulder. Not much of one, really, because there was shoulder, and then there was Jersey barrier. And I got as close to the barrier as I could because, man, there wasn't a lot of distance between the driver's side door and the white line of the right lane. And then, the Nissan Rogue's vehicle warning system said, "Warning, warning, Will Robinson. Flat tire, flat tire, flat tire." Because I had one. I watched in the side rearview mirror until I could safely get out of the driver's side door and walked around. As Sergeant Schultz once said in Hogan's Heroes, "Flat as a pancake." This then necessitated an ordeal of talking to the rental company and them sending out a repair truck to put the donut on. At which point, an hour and a half later, so we're now at something approaching noon, crept about a mile and a half up to the next exit and went to the local rental place and swapped out the vehicle. That then also took another hour. And by the time all was said and done, And yes, by that point in time, I hadn't eaten anything that day, and I had a feeling my blood sugar was somewhere around my shoelaces. I knew that there was a Popeyes in Manassas, and I trucked into Manassas, picked up the Popeyes, got back on the road. And wound up getting through the door here something around 8 p.m., maybe 8:30. Sheesh. But that's the trip report mostly. I'm sure there'll be other things that come to mind along the way, but that's the trip report. That's our boy, Mike in Cascadia, says Utah Rep. Rob Bishop. Yep, must have been. He was a history teacher back in the day, believe it or not. He must have taught the Mormon homeschool variety. Yeah, the one where Joseph Smith prevents the Nazis from bombing Pearl Harbor, I guess. Mike in Cascadia says, Bishop is working very hard right now, full-time, to turn the world-class southern Utah landscape into a giant coal mine. Well, of course. Who here doesn't remember Crandall Canyon and the way that Bob Murray got a whole bunch of people all dead? Mike continues, last year Bishop tried to sneak into the Puerto Rico Promesa bill, a provision to sell Vieques National Wildlife Refuge. The public got wind of that and put pressure on Congress to where that was removed. Right now, Bishop and other Utah Pauls are trying to get Trump to rescind Bears Ears National Monument. Bishop once said those who support the Antiquities Act should die. Yes, he said that. Literally, they should die. While they're at it, they're also working to shrink the Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument. They've been in a hissy ever since Bill Clinton created that wonderful monument back in the late 1990s. Mike says, I did write a letter to my congressman, and I spoke to his office a few times last week to have him co-sign the AIC Act. I haven't heard back yet from him. He's a good guy, Rick Larson from Washington 2nd District. Anyway, glad you're back. I listen to podcasts of your show to keep my sanity. You and Carol Baker, the day after the election, is powerful. If you could print your script, especially that segment with Carol. You and Angry also had a great conversation late in November. Take care. Mike, in very snowy Cascadia. Yeah, I saw some remark the other day. The Great Northwest has seen more snow since it seemed like the 1930s. Meanwhile, can you call it dodging bullets here? I mean, it got up past 60 degrees here today. And, you know, not entirely terrible, but I guess we're going to have 60 degrees and rain tomorrow. But, hey, Wednesday night, we're going to get down to 19. It'll be a minor miracle if everybody in West Virginia doesn't wind up with pneumonia out of all of this. But we want, you know, that's okay because we don't need that. We don't need that commie health care now, do we? No. Meanwhile, Robert in Australia says, how was my week? Hot, hot, hot. The east coast of Australia is having a summer record-breaking heat wave with more days of around 104 degrees Fahrenheit and nights of 86 degrees Fahrenheit than ever before. Throw in some high humidity, and I've been walking around like I had just got out of the shower for several days. Air you can wear. We know about that. We haven't had weather like this for 116 years. That's before Federation in Australia. Today we're having some relief. It's actually raining, 71 degrees Fahrenheit, and a thunderstorm has just started. Nice. Oh, how did I miss that? We'll just have to find the little clip. Kelly pointed out to me that I needed to watch Real Time with Bill Maher from this past week, which I then went to do. But guess what? DirecTV Now, for the princely ransom of $35 a month, not work so good. Yeah, I went to turn it on. I was actually going to watch Bill Maher. And I got the message, have we met? We don't remember ever seeing your email address before. Nice. I was also interested in catching up on the episodes I'd missed of The Young Pope. Jude Law, Diane Keaton. It's really kind of fun. In an oh my God, this could be Trump in a white dress kind of way. So, no, I didn't see Ari and Barbie on Bill Maher. Something, Bill Maher can't resist having pale, blonde women, right-wingers, on his program. It's his kryptonite, I guess. It's like me and redheads. I know, but I got to find that. Thanks for bringing that to my attention again and reminding me, Robert. And I should note that the day after the House of Representatives took the Stream Protection Act out behind the barn and worked it over with the crowbar, the Senate Republicans, along with my senator, Joe Manchin, Quisling, managed to find an old piece of rebar and took it out behind the barn on the Senate side and beat it up a little bit more, and they too passed the Congressional Review, invoked the Congressional Review Act with regard to the stream protection role, because we got to have our coal jobs back here in West Virginia, because people in Appalachia ain't smart enough to do nothing but mine coal. So, yeah, that happened. And they've gone after the fiduciary rule. That's the rule that says that people who broker stocks and such like shouldn't be able to put their own commissions and fees ahead of the good of the of their actual customers. Yeah, went after that. Going after everything. Did I mention? Yeah, I did. Oh, thank you, Jeremy. Thank you very kindly. Jeremy in Vermont got us started on Shirley's Challenge this evening. Thank you, Jeremy. So that means we've got $195 to go, and Jeremy's 5 became 10. Thank you very kindly, Jeremy. Thank you very much indeed. But I mentioned a little bit ago the word desiccation. Did anybody catch Meta Mussolini's speech at Fort Dill? Was it Fort Dill today? Yeah, he can go and talk to military installations because, unlike, say, the Harley plant, there's not nearly as much of a likelihood that he will draw more protesters than supporters. MacDill Air Force Base. There we go. I'm only dealing with a transcription of his remarks. I do not have the audio to hand, but it's Moran Monday. Okay? Yeah, hold on. We got to do this right. I mean, it's been a while.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know, morons.
Hurry, hurry, hurry. Step right up. It's Moran Monday on the horn. You will not believe your ears. Behind this thin cybernetic veil of canvas reside the entire panoply, accompanied by a calliope of Morans. Ninthers, Ninthers, Tenthers, Birthers, Deathers, Birchers, Booger Eaters, Trumpanzees swinging from the light fixtures. Yes, indeed, Republicans, Libertarians, the entire Moran Collective. Just a few steps off the Carnival Midway from where you were previously hurling ping pong balls at goldfish bowls. Yes, it's all here. It's all right here for you on Moran Monday. and it's the biggest bargain on the Midway. Works out something like less than 17 or so cents per hour of programming for your average $10 a month subscriber. Yes, indeed. Hurry, 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 folks. Don't waste time. You can't tell the morons without a program, and this is the program that tells the morons you just can't tell them much. Oh, no. And the general warning always applies. People with small babies, purses, handbags, European messenger bags, even that iguana that you won throwing ping pong balls at the fishbowl, well, you need to keep them, keep a close watch on them and a tight rein on them. Hang on to them with both hands because, well, the morons can get grabby. Head for the hills or you'll be up to your armpits in morons. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Morons. Lots and lots of morons. Definitely morons. Ah, well, thank you. Thank you. Brother Deacon Asus has nominated me for the line, Trumpanzees Swinging from the Light Fixtures. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. Thank you very kindly. I appreciate it. But no, we kind of had to, he went out to MacDill, and yeah, I think that was where he made reference to Out of Control California. He lives in a different world. He does. The Mango Marcus Aurelius. That's Horalius, not Aurelius. Horalius with a W and an H and an O and R and E L I U S. It looks better in print. But in that speech, and again, I'm dealing with a transcript, so maybe this is a transcription error. I don't know. On the one hand, you hope it is. On the other hand, you're not surprised if it's not. But we know now from the New York Times via the Trump White House, which apparently leaks like a sieve, and Donald, just in case you're listening,
yeah.
A sieve is a thing that has a lot of holes in it and leaks a lot, a real lot, Donnie Dimwit, a lot. We know that, for instance, he's having a hard time settling in. We're spending millions, if not billions of dollars, protecting his stripper wife and their child there in Trump Tower. In fact, I saw a statistic earlier that said the monthly cost of keeping Malaria and Barron under security there at Trump Tower is about, $2 million more dollars than it would cost to house every homeless family in New York in Section 8 housing. Yeah. But Melanoma and the kid aren't there in D.C. and may never be. And while I don't blame Malaria for not wanting to be around Donald, I mean, who would? Except for, like, you know, Tom Brady or Rince. Yeah. Or Steve Bannon, who apparently gets up close and personal with a razor, you know, once every 72 days or so. Racist Bannon. But we know that he's wandering the hallways of the White House at about 3 o'clock in the morning, kind of dueless and sort of trying to figure out what he's, why he's, where he's, who he's. Yeah, just padding around in a bathrobe in the White House. Really. Not kidding. And while he's padding around in his bathrobe in the White House, isolated, unable to trust anyone, well, we found out that when the Muslim ban was presented to him, he had next to no idea what it really was, and that the guy who drafted it, Racist Bannon, had consulted with nearly nobody on the language of it so that it became an immediate mess. And we also found out along the way that he signs things without reading them. In particular, he signed the executive order that put Racist Bannon on the National Security Council and bounced the National Security Advisor and the Director of Homeland Security. Off of the National Security Council, saying that their presence had become by invitation only. Ginger ale. Yeah, Bannon just sticks it in front of him and he signs it. It's straight out of, that clip that we begin More in Monday with, you know, this one.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know, morons.
Yeah, that's from Blazing Saddles, of course. And there is, of course, that famous scene of Harvey Korman as Hedley Lamarr simply putting things in front of Governor William J. LePetitmane, Mel Brooks's, putting him on his desk and then moving his hand to sign his name while he looks at the splendid breasts of his administrative assistant, who, if you think about it, in the face looks to no small degree like melanoma. But never mind. We learned all that this week. And one presumes, we also learned that when Theresa May, the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, visited, there was that awkward moment where he grabbed her by the hand. Ah, you thought I was going to say something else, didn't you? Damn it! I leave for a week. But he grabbed her by the hand in a moment that was entirely inappropriate. Of course, the entirety of the existence of the Kumquat Kaiser is entirely inappropriate. It's sort of what he's built his brand around, being inappropriate. And it turns out that he grabbed her hand because he has a mortal fear of slopes and stairs because he's terrified of falling down. Now, we don't know if Fred Trump boxed him about the ears as a kid or called him a klutz or clumsy or if maybe other kids at that military school where they shuttled him away because they couldn't stand to be around their own kid, Ma and Pa Trump. We don't know what happened to cause him to be that way. It is a fact, I'll note, because I've kind of seen it in real life, that people in various stages of senile dementia have a mortal fear of falling down. And it's justified. My grandmother was not entirely home when once upon a time years ago, I think in a Walmart, she slipped, broke her hip, and that was the beginning of the end of Gran. So we learned about that. But we also know that he is operates on a degree of paranoia that would probably be surprising to all of us, or not. And so because MacDill Air Force Base was a place that was safe to take him to and far away from any of those commie protesters out there, you know, the protesters that don't really exist, that there weren't a half a million of in Washington, D.C. the day after he was inaugurated. Yeah, those protesters. But that, nonetheless, he's terrified of. He went out to MacDill Air Force Base, and the paranoia that informs his existence bubbled over the top, leading to this statement. To these forces of death and desiccation, America and its allies will defeat you. We will defeat them. We will defeat radical Islamic terrorism. The challenges facing our nation are very large, very, very large. We are up against an, I presume, enemy that celebrates death and worships destruction. Radical Islamic terrorists are determined to strike our homeland, as they did on 9/11, from Boston to Orlando to San Bernardino. I say San Bernardino, it says San Bernardino here. I do that in memory of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, the father of Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the man, the booger-eating anointed future king of America, because he said San Bernardino. So first of all, as practitioners of the art of word knowing, there's that phrase, as they did on 9/11 from Boston to Orlando to San Bernardino. He left out Bowling Green, the Bowling Green massacre, but I had no idea there were attacks in Boston, Orlando, and San Bernardino on 9/11-2001, or any other 9/11 for that matter. If I recall correctly, Boston happened in the spring, and Orlando didn't happen in September either, and San Bernardino happened around the holiday season. But, you know, who's counting, right? But it's that earlier line. To these forces of death and desiccation, I almost believe that it's real because he uses the word destruction later on, and whoever was trying to organize his thoughts into a coherent printed page that could be, or a computer file that could be put into the teleprompter, maybe he didn't want to use destruction twice in one sentence. Okay, practitioners of the art of word knowing. Has anybody looked up desiccation yet? Because, well, it's a word. And I wouldn't have really maybe noticed it except for things that happen along the road of life. Once upon a time, my mother, and to her dying day, she was a big believer in vitamins. And so I would go to school with this huge handful of vitamins, lecithin, calcium, magnesium, vitamin this, vitamin that, yada, yada. And along the way, there were some desiccated liver tablets. Now, I made a big production out of the fact that I could swallow whole golf ball-sized handfuls of vitamins in one swallow. It was kind of like a parlor trick. Hey, he's going to take his vitamins. Everybody watch. This is so wild. This is cool. Yeah. But when Mom added the desiccated liver, I put my foot down. Mother, those things stink so badly they run out the entire cafeteria, including the lunch ladies. They were, Jesus Christ, they stunk. But like everything else in my life, it turned into a learning experience because that's the way I was raised. And of course, I learned that to be desiccated is to be dried out. And yea, verily, years and years later, the word made its way into the opening of Prayer Meeting Wednesday, wherein we refer to that 20, referred, I mean, they said they got eaten that one evening. But we referred to that 20-year-old bowl of desiccated butter mints there on the vestibule table before you come into the sanctuary. Desiccated, according to dictionary.com, desiccate is a verb to dry thoroughly, to dry up, to dehydrate. When something is desiccated, it has become thoroughly dried or dried up. And so, lo and behold, son of a gun. This is a good way of thinking about it. Ron and Raleigh just reminded me. I use those little desiccant packages in my shoe boxes to keep my shoes from getting moldy. Silica gel, absolutely. In those little clear beads, and they're in a package, and they always say, "Do not eat." You know why? Because they will mummify you from the inside out. They will dry you up. And I can't, I saw that word and I just couldn't let it go. Practitioners of death and desiccation. I guess ISIS is going to mummify us? Steve in New York pointing out the use of that word is unprecedented. Unprecedented. Damn right. But you know, you just have to know, don't you? Where my mind immediately went the instant that I saw that they were trying to dry us up? Well, yeah.
Hendry, I suppose it never occurred to you that while we're chatting here so enjoyably, a decision is being made by the President and the Joint Chiefs in the war room at the Pentagon. And when they realize there is no possibility of recalling the wing, there will be only one course of action open. Total commitment. Mandrake, do you recall what Clemenceau once said about war?
No, I didn't think I knew that, yeah.
He said war was too important to be left to the generals. When he said that, 50 years ago, he might have been right. But today, war is too important to be left to politicians. They have neither the time, the training, nor the inclination for strategic thought. I can no longer sit back and allow communist infiltration, communist indoctrination, communist subversion, and the international communist conspiracy to sap and impurify all of our precious bodily fluids.
It's incredibly obvious, isn't it? A foreign substance is introduced into our precious bodily fluids without the knowledge of the individual, certainly without any choice. That's the way your hardcore commie works.
Jack, listen, tell me, Jack, when did you first develop this theory?
Well, I first became aware of it, Mandrake, during the physical act of love.
Huh.
Yes, a profound sense of fatigue, feeling of emptiness followed. Luckily, I was able to interpret these feelings correctly. Loss of essence.
Huh.
I can assure you it has not recurred, Mandrake. Women sense my power, and they seek the life essence.
Yeah.
To desiccate something, someone, and our radical Islamic enemies apparently want to desiccate all of us. They want to collect our precious bodily fluids. Never mind his Twitter account, okay? Will someone please take away Netflix from Donald J. Trump? He thinks he's watching documentaries. They probably only wound up at MacDill Air Force Base because he told them he wanted to go to Burpleson and meet that great American Jack D. Ripper. God damn!
Of course, as Carol Baker points out, it could have been something else. He could have meant death and defecation. You know, death and shit. These people, these terrorists who want to bring us death and shit. Sir, can we change that to defecation? I don't know if I can say that. And then it comes out desiccation. Because destruction is in the paragraph, you know, lower down.
At one point in time when I was in D.C., I was carrying on a conversation. And I said something about, if we can only take back the Congress in 2018. I told you they're freaked out there. Well, the person who I was talking to responded, "Ha! You actually think we're all going to still be here in 2018? There'll be mushroom clouds on the horizon long before that." And, you know, I remember a lot of Republican presidencies, unfortunately. Unfortunate that we had Republican presidencies. I mean, how far have I fallen that I watched the opening ceremonies of the Super Bowl yesterday and was kind of giggling a little bit that Babs and Poppy decided to show up for the coin toss. But when they said, "Hey, y'all want to come to the inauguration?" "Nah, we dying." I know from Republican presidents And, you know, doing this, you know, we've been, God knows there was plenty to talk about with regard to dim leader. We felt like he was, you know, pretty dim. But never have I heard such a grim estimation of our future. You expect to be here in 2018? Huh? So, that was sobering. Ron, in the far and, I presume, frozen north, says, "With regard to Trump's mental status, has anyone definitively ruled out syphilis? I've been asking that question for weeks now, Ron. Spirochetes, baby. And whatever happened to the standard practice of the president's medicinal needs being dealt with by the medical team at Walter Reed? Is he still dealing with the hippie MD who thinks this stuff is all a joke? Yeah, because I saw some mention of that dude within the last couple of weeks. Ron also asks, regarding bodily essence, what, we're all in line for a radical Islamist blowjob? You can have mine, Ron. As to why he showed up at MacDill Air Force Base, as Stephen New York said, no, he had a craving for Irish pickles. He thought they were going to McDonald's. Yeah, you get one of those, Steve. Randy and PA suggesting another name, the Bellicose Bozo. I like it. We're going to need a long list for the next 4 years. No doubt about it. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. It's 11 minutes past the hour. We got more morons. My particular favorite, there was a right-wing hissy had. In the immediate aftermath of the running of the Coca-Cola ad last night. You know, the one that had people singing America the Beautiful in a variety of different languages. Yeah. And that occasioned a full-on Twitter storm, purple polka-dotted hissy with a blue screaming fit on the part of the alt-white, you know. And along the way, some wingnut tweeted, at Coca-Cola, we are an English-speaking nation. This should only be sang in English, I'll never buy your products again. You know, she just sits around waiting for this stuff, the goddess of irony does. We are an English-speaking nation. This should only be sang in English. I'll never buy your products again. It's beautiful. It's just beautiful. Can't make this stuff up. Oh, yeah. Lots and lots of morons. And, of course, I'll mention this before going to the break. It is Moran Monday, the 6th of February. And we do, in fact, have $195 to raise. And that gets doubled because this is Shirley's challenge for the first program of the month. And we got $195 to go. Thanks to Jeremy in Vermont for getting us started. Thank you very kindly, one and all. And hopefully that will that'll get knocked down in short order. Oh, okay. Dowhead with a contribution toward the references gets one of these. The Ochre Ogre. Very nice. Very nice. So, one line already has somebody on it, but the lines are open. It's Moran Monday. It's Conversation Radio. I am thrilled to be back after a five-day absence and a somewhat harrowing adventure on the way back. Let's see what's on y'all's mind. This is Conversation Radio. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. And, yeah, let's just take a minute or two.
day I faced a barren waste without the taste of water. Cool water. Oh, Dan and I, with throats burned dry and souls that cry for water.
Water.
Cool.
Water.
Clear.
Water.
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 Keep
water.
A moving, Dan. Don't you listen to him, Dan. He's the devil, not a man. And he spread the burning sand with water. Dan, can you see that big green tree where the water's running free and it's waiting there for me and you? The nights are cool and I'm a pool. Each star's a pool of water. Cool water. But with the dawn I'll wake and yawn and carry on to water. Moving, Dan, don't you listen to him, Dan. He's the devil, not a man. And he spread the burning sand with water. Dan, can you see that big green tree where the water's running free and it's waiting there for me and you? The shadows sway and seem to say, tonight we pray for water. Cool water. And way up there moving, Dan, don't you listen to him, Dan. He's the devil, not a man. And he spread the burning sand with water. Dan, can you see that big green tree where the water's running free and it's waiting there for me and you? Dan's feet are sore, he's yearning for just one thing more than water. Cool water. Like me, I guess he'd like to rest where there's no quest for water.
Water.
Cool.
Water.
Clear.
Water.
Water.
Cool, clear water.
Keep him moving, Dan. He's a devil, not a man. And he spreads the burning sands with water. A classic from the Sons of the Pioneers, going out to desiccating dawn. Jesus. 17 minutes past the hour. Thank you very kindly to Kitty. Kitty says, so glad you're back, Bob. Has anyone said Foolius Geezer yet? That's good. That's good. I've been using Geezer Disgustus a lot. And, Ron, Far Frozen Ron, suggests the Sienna Syphilitic. Well, now. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Courtesy of, I presume this is still Graham, with Jen still in Italy. But the Khaki Kaiser, Kaiser Cray Cray. And Richie Reich. Well played. Well played indeed. Well, it's been a week. Let's run over and check in and see what Tracy's got on her mind. Hey, Tracy.
Even from the troublemakers in California.
You're out of control. Zipping up and down the 12 and 9 sixteenths to the 6 and 7 eighths and...
Oh my God! If only we could proceed. I love how he's threatening cutting off our funding when, you know, we're considered what they call it. We're a donor state, Bob. You know that, right? We put more money in the coffers than we get. So yeah, go ahead, homie. Bring it.
So maybe California would just respond by saying no. We're going to hold back our money, and you won't be able to build no more roads in Mississippi-stan.
Right. I'll be fine with not paying my. I would be so okay with not paying taxes.
No, no, no. You'll pay taxes. They'll go into the California Treasury, and California will do great things, like have a space program and science that investigates and quantifies climate change. Since we're not into that anymore,
and we'll build schools and no more and not prisons, and we'll invest in our infrastructure. You know, shit like that. We'll save our national parks. Yeah, shit like that. Mm-hmm.
California, in many ways, is out of control, as you know. Obviously, the voters agree, or otherwise they wouldn't have voted for me.
Motherfucker, they didn't vote for your ass. The Electoral College elected you.
Ding, 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 ding.
I'm sorry.
Those sanctuary cities, they breed crime. There's lots of problems. We have to, defund. We give tremendous amounts of money to California.
We give money to you.
Don't hold back, Tracy. Just let it all out. Let it all...
God damn, when is this distillate? What did they just... I can't even say it because it's a C and the S and I get tongue-tied. Shameless. What did Ron just call him?
The Sienna syphilitic?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Ooh, another one just hit me. Ooh. The Spirochete Czar.
Ooh. Nice. Remember we were talking, because I didn't really talk on the right in the front porch before you left because I was doing wife stuff. But, one of the things everybody was talking about was how, what kind of world would we be in a week without you? And then what happens? Sure as I am black, this motherfucker here comes up. I was going to ban the Muslims. But then it's not a ban. It's just there's a travel restriction. But it's only on 7 countries, but none of which attacked us.
And none of which he has business dealings with.
And none of which he has business dealings with.
You're there. You're there. You got it. Don't slow down.
So, but the travel ban is not a ban, but it's just because, you do realize that that's just protecting us. We haven't had attacks like 9/11 since 9/11. And we didn't ban any Muslims. We had vetting.
You know, Tracy, what blows my mind with his reference to Orlando is that apparently the entirety of the right wingosphere missed out on the fact that dude was covering his ass for the fact that he was a broken-hearted closeted guy.
He was a closeted fag.
By saying no, I definitely did this over ISIS. Yeah, definitely.
Right. No, you did it because you're a punk ass, nelly ass faggot.
Closeted.
I'm just saying, closeted. Speaking of nelly ass faggot.
Milo? See, I missed that too, the carrying on at Berkeley.
Yeah, they kind of lost it. But he left.
And I know you don't throw around that F word just for the hell of it, so,
No. It basically, me saying faggot is basically in tandem with me saying nigga. Because as a matter of fact, when I first started going to my church, and Jan, who was probably one of the most inappropriate people ever, would say it, and I'm like, a queen and stuff, and I'm like looking at her and... before, and she's like, we could say it to each other, kind of like how you say the N-word. I'm like, okay, I can't get used to that because I'm, straight girl coming from the straight world going into the gay world, so it's going to take me a minute. But that little fairy self-loathing, because this is what him... And that clip that I sent you of Diamond and Satin, those coons, they're going to be the first ones. Because, see, they think they're, see, this is what I wish, see, this is when I wish I was more angry Indian. They're the first ones that are going to the camp, Bob. When they all, when they come to round us all up, they're going to be the first one to go, and they're going to be like, but I supported you. I voted for you. I rallied for you. But see, bitches, you're gay. You're gay, Milo. And you two Negroes are black. And for you, for the Horn family.
Diamond and Silk. Isn't that what they were called?
Diamond and Silk. It's Diamond and Satin, whatever. I would never post that shit on my Facebook page because they are an abomination. But they are.
Well, see, but the thing is, I thought, I really did. I really needed to believe that they were a joke.
You were hoping that they were a joke, weren't you?
That it was a parody. It was a parody thing, a skit thing.
Nope.
And just so that, just so that people can know what it is we're talking about. Let me haul up the audio so we can share because
it's. You got the clip.
I got the clip. Because that way people will be in on the inside of the joke. These are a pair of black women who apparently attained some degree of YouTube celebrity by completely going against type and declaring themselves fans of. Wait a minute. Let's use one of the new ones. The Ochre Ogre. Thanks, Tony. Yeah. So here we go. Damn it. Wait a minute. Oh, okay.
Don't
I know what's going
on. Don't forget to tell people about Hockey Puck.
Y'all, for God's sakes, this is Hockey Puck time. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And I had it muted. Now I didn't mute it anymore.
Hey, y'all. Hey. Oh, my God. I know you all are so excited. Yes. It is official. Donald J. Trump is the 45th president of the United States. Now, he's going to go ahead and build that wall to keep us safe,
yes.
Bringing our jobs back where we're thriving again, yes. And uniting this country, baby, where we're walking hand in hand again.
Yes.
I love it.
I love
but
it.
Guess what?
Wow.
I got to get some of these senators and congressmen and women straight. Now, it is official that Donald J. Trump is now the 45th president of the United States.
Recognize.
Now, here's what you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
You senators and you congressmen and congresswomen, you need to go up there. You need to make sure that you are working with Donald J. Trump.
That's right.
Hand in hand.
Yes.
Together.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a problem with that, we got one better for you. If you feel like you don't want to work with him, we done already told some people to pack their bags. If you have a problem working for him, working with him, here's what the American people is going to do.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to vote your ass out. Now, either you can get with him.
Right.
And y'all can make this happen.
Mm-hmm.
Where our country is secure.
That's right.
Our country is safe.
Uh-huh.
The people are thriving?
Yes.
Some of you are about to get fired. Now, all I'm going to say is this. Don't start none. Won't be none.
Yeah. No, really, I watched that. That's got to be. That's, but it's not a joke.
And I think I told you no.
No, I know.
I know, and somewhere, if Angry is listening to the show, if he hasn't called in, if he hadn't thought about calling in,
and they've been, I mean, there's lots of their stuff. I mean, they've made a.
Oh, honey, they are a cottage industry. I mean, Bihar knew that they were legit. And remember, I told you about that Republican that used to kind of that was supposed to be my friend, but I really sent her straight about just say the fuck up. You know, finally just leave me the fuck alone. Just stay away from my page.
Yeah, right.
She is she likes them. She's one of the people who likes them. So that's when I knew. Because I like you, I was hoping that...
But no.
And there's another one. There's another Auntie Thomasina. Auntie Teresa, whatever. And her name is Aunt Somebody. And she's along the same vein. She was going off on Colin Kaepernick about... you know, when he took a knee or what have you.
Yeah, I wondered if anybody took a knee last night, and then I wondered, would Fox even show it if they did?
I don't think, I don't think they would ever show them on national television. But if you went onto their Facebook pages or whatever, did you go and see how many likes they have?
Oh, it's frightening. But, by the way, while we're at it, you know that Richard Spencer, the Nazi, the punched Nazi, you know he declared last night's comeback Super Bowl victory a victory for the tenacity and never give up spirit of the white race.
You're lying. You did not say that.
Yeah, huh?
In those words.
Very nearly.
But did you see my brother? I don't know that the brother that said, "Fuck you, I'm not going to the White House."
Yeah, I did, and of course he had nothing to do with that victory.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, because of course you know they're because I told my friend, a friend of mine, because he said that if they won, he was not going, and then they won, and he said, "I'm not going." And so then, of course, you know, I haven't read the comments, and I don't need to, because I said they're going to savage him. I already know this. But then I didn't realize it, but I got, because I reposted it on my Facebook page from the grill, and somebody pointed out, because, you know, like I follow sports, you know, whatever, that in 2013, Tom Brady didn't go to the White House.
Oh, no, he did not. And so Martellus Bennett, who was a tight end, he said, you know, I'm not going, and if you need to know why, just read my Twitter feed. Which probably just got him a couple of million new followers on Twitter.
Oh, yeah. People who probably never even watch football.
Right.
Probably even watch football.
But I am not kidding. I am so sincerely not kidding about Richard Spencer. He really did say it was a victory for the white race.
I want him.
I know.
Oh, speaking of...
Bus, no skid marks, just bus, Richard Spencer, no skid marks.
Bus, no brakes, no even attempted brake. Speaking of Spencer, Spicer, because they're all about the same kind of person, Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah, you know, the Saturday Night Live bit was perfect.
She was spot. Oh, my God. She was brilliant. I haven't laughed that hard in such a long time. It was, because see, you know, we need those glimpses of just of fun and joy and laughter. Even if they only last for a minute or two, because we have an idiot. That's our president. We have a man who says that if there's anybody, what was the latest one? That the press and the media is lying because, you know, all these people don't hate him. It's a lie.
Oh, right. And poll numbers are lying about the number of people who oppose the Muslim ban.
No, his approval ratings right now are at, what is it, -12?
The lowest in history. Let's just call it that.
I mean, he has only been, Bob, has he only been in office for a full month yet? He hasn't, and then he already went on vacation. This stress guy, he's only been in office for 2 weeks, and he already went on vacation. After going off on Obama at every chance he got, every time he thought about taking a vacation. I'm pretty sure that Obama's first term, he didn't go on vacation 2 weeks after taking office.
And this was a $3 million vacation, and he's going back down to Mar-a-Lago next week. So the Japanese Prime Minister, Abe, is coming to D.C., and then they're going to go play golf together at Mar-a-Lago.
Isn't that what Cap David is for?
Well, I mean, yeah, but, yeah.
But, aside from the fact, how much are we paying for melanoma to stay up Trump Tower?
Yeah, millions.
She doesn't want to bring her ass down to D.C. because she doesn't want to.
Yeah, I gotta find that number. I wanna get square on that number. Guarding Trump Tower, $30 million. Section 8 for all 15,856 homeless New York City families, $28 million.
But we don't have any money. Bob. Yeah, you know we don't have no money for that.
No, we don't have no money. No, we don't. Well, Section 8 housing. No, we don't have money for that. We do have money. We do have money to guard malaria and Barron.
Malaria. I mean, the whole week has just. And then I got bamboozled. I'm so mad at myself. Because I didn't watch the Super Bowl. I was doing, homework and watching stupid movies from the 80s. Except for Zoot Suit. Zoot Suit was a stupid movie from the 80s. I watched Zoot Suit. I watched Xanadu. I know. I watched something else yesterday. I didn't care to watch. And I was doing homework. I'm watching all this stuff, and I'm like, but I'm sitting there going, I'd rather watch this than watch the Super Bowl. And I'm mad that I didn't, because apparently it was actually a good game.
It was quite possibly one of the best Super Bowls of all time. The team I wanted to win didn't, but I have to deal with that.
Actually, from what I read on Twitter, yes, they did, because they don't have to go to the White House.
But it's no. I went looking. Yes, Richard Spencer declared Tom Brady to be an Aryan avatar.
Did you just fucking say an
Aryan avatar? And he also tweeted, I was born in Boston, Mass. I'm proud of the NFL's whitest team.
Oh, God.
I know.
Seriously, I'm like, what do you think is going to happen in the next 4 years? I mean, do you think these people are really going to have the race riot that they have been hoping for how many years now? Wasn't Charles Manson back in the day talking about race riot?
That was the whole purpose of the Tate-LoBianco murders, was to start a race war.
But my question, and that's always been my question. Watching Helter Skelter and remembering, because hell, I was living.
There was a reason for Spencer to do this, because he was deeply offended, Tracy, at the opening ceremonies when they honored a whole bunch of Hall of Famers from historically black colleges, and that must have just really pissed him off.
Oh, that must have been really pissed him off. But then you had Lady Gaga at the halftime show.
Let's see, he also tweeted, a Patriots victory is a victory for the alt-right. Yeah.
I, you know, I try to understand people. I try.
Don't try to understand a Nazi.
No, I can't understand a Nazi. And see, this is why I love you, because see, this alt-right bullshit, fuck that shit. They are Nazis. They're not. They're Nazis. They're white supremacists. They're domestic terrorists. Like that thing I posted on my Facebook page about the, you know, the Oklahoma bombing. Not a Muslim, not a follower of Islam. Plain old all-American, homegrown, racist, domestic terrorists. And until we start calling them for what they call them, what they are, it's like nothing's going to change. It's like how you was talking about the South and the traitors. They were fucking traitors, Bob. They wanted to secede from the Union. And because our government, they didn't do what they were supposed to do and treat them like a traitorous asshole because they were. That's why we still have these issues with them saying, you know, this Southern aggression and all this bullshit. Fuck that shit.
Oh, but I got more.
God damn it.
And to think they allowed the Patriots to win in Black History Month. And then there was...
Didn't the final winning touchdown, wasn't it a brother who made the catch or whatever?
Yeah, and he posted a photo of a black guy who plays for the Patriots, number 28. His last name is White. And you can see his jersey with white written on the back. He posted a photo of that and said, the Patriots even call their blacks white. They're blacks.
This is the kind of shit that makes you want to cut a motherfucker. This is why I don't have my own radio show. This is why I can't be let out in public at times. This is why I have to work. You know, I have noticed one thing since this election, Bob. White people have been a lot nicer to me because I think a lot of them who are not Trump supporters are afraid for me to think that they are. Does that make sense?
Nah, I understand.
I think there's this genuine fear or worry that they don't want to be lumped in with the rest of the Trump supporters. So it's like they go out of their way. When I'm at the grocery store, I've had people, how you doing? How you say? And I'm just like, it's kind of unsettling in a way, because especially when you're not used to that. But I understand where it's coming from, because they're like, it's kind of like when I was growing up and I wanted to be considered one of the good ones. You know, as far as black people are concerned, I'm not a troublemaker, and, you know, I'm going to do everything I can to be white without, you know, bleaching my skin. So now I think white people are going through that. Because it's like, I don't want anybody to think that I voted for Trump.
Let's see. Here's a tweet. Rooting for the Pats. 1, Belichick and Brady support Trump. 2, 3 white wide receivers. 3, consistently NFL's whitest team. 4, ATL is dreadful. And later on, he tweeted out an image of the Pats logo, where the front of it, where the face on it, was replaced by Pepe the Frog. This is an evil son of a bitch, okay? Make no damn mistake about it.
You remember, I think I told this story when I went back to school and I was taking, you remember, I had never really taken a Black Studies course, and I was taking Black History courses and basically studying, you know, the time during and after the Reconstruction, especially, you know, the terrorist practice of white people and attacking black people and their towns and their lynchings and stuff like that. And the one particular story of a woman whose husband had been lynched as she tried to get justice, and they snatched her, lynched her. Did I mention she was pregnant, and they cut the baby out of her womb, stomped the fetus, and then set her on fire. So I would come home, and my son Alex would say, "So is this one of your I hate white people days?" And I would be like, "Yes." Because the only thing I could do, seriously, Bob, the only thing I can literally do was come home. I could not do anything besides come home. Because we all know what I do for a living. I drive a cab. I could not put myself in a situation where a white person would say the wrong thing to me on that day. And I would catch a case. Because I'm like, I don't have bail money, and I'm not going to jail for kicking a white person's ass. So I just need to stay home. But, you know, what do you do with that anger? And see, you have these people like, you know, Spencer and a president and racist Bannon and all these people who have risen into power. And they are now figuring, they're smelling themselves. You know, they got.
Yeah, and that's another thing that happened while I was gone. They managed to the White House managed to issue a Holocaust Remembrance Day, and erase Jews from it at the same time.
Right.
I mean, how many? Oh. I mean, this is well past. You know, I know how much Thomas loves Columbo reruns. And, you know, the thing with Columbo is you know who done it at the beginning, and you watch Columbo figure it out. Well, we know these bastards are goddamn Klansmen and white supremacists and neo-Nazis, and we know that. But the question is, how much evidence do we need before we figure it all out? I mean, my God. Okay, so we know they hate black people. And yeah, oh, but wait a minute, Jared Kushner's Jewish and Ivanka converted and blah, 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 blah.
So
I mean, how did that play with his now Jewish daughter and his Jewish son-in-law, who is Orthodox for fuck's sake, okay? I mean, he's not
Orthodox?
No, yeah, I mean, he's not one of these reformed bacon eating. No, he's Orthodox. And so you managed to mention the Holocaust and not mention Jewish, the 6 million dead Jews. I mean, and see, that's what a lot of people may not know, Tracy, is that is a hallmark of modern Holocaust denial. Well, I mean, it wasn't just the Jews, man. A lot of people got killed by Hitler. I mean,
the gypsies
and, like, the gays and, like, you know, the disabled people. Yeah, like any of those assholes give a damn about gypsies, gays, disabled people. No. It's about denying that Jewish people were the hallmark, the centerpiece, the point of the Holocaust. And you know, God damn it, that one transcript of the Wannsee meeting makes it abundantly clear. Gays and gypsies and disabled people were kind of an afterthought.
Yeah.
The purpose was the elimination of Jews.
Well, let's not forget his Black History speech moment about Frederick Douglass.
Oh, that too. Thank you.
And of course,
by the way, the funniest thing I saw in the wake of the Frederick Douglass, you know, talking about Frederick Douglass in the present tense.
In the present tense.
And God knows, I wish he was still around. But somebody tweeted somewhat thereafter, okay, here's what we have to do. We have to convince Cornel West to introduce himself to Donald Trump as Frederick Douglass. You'd pay money. I'd pay money.
As a matter of fact, Cornel West is going to be here. I think at Pepperdine doing a talk, and I hope my schedule makes it possible for me to go. But to talk to about Cornel, I got to say Cornel West, to have him speak about he's doing great things and more people knowing or finding out about him because of the great. And then Omarosa.
Oh, stop. I can't go to Omarosa. No. And by the way, Carol Baker just pointed out in the Melissa McCarthy the blistering piece on Spicer, Scary Spicer, Creepy Spicer, that line where she, as he, says, "What's your problem? The statement was written by the Jewiest guy." It was. Jewiest guy. And but you mentioned Melissa McCarthy. I got to put a downside on that. Agnes and I watched the Creepy Spicer bit, and we laughed our asses off.
When you can watch TV.
Well, no, I mean, we watched the clip. Yeah.
Oh, you just watched the clip, because I heard...
Yeah, and my direct TV don't work worth a shit. But anyway, so we're watching the Super Bowl, and along comes this Kia ad. And up till that point...
That's the one with the creepy little gophers or whatever the fuck they are.
Well, no. This was up until the Kia ad came along, the creepiest, ickiest, failiest ad of the evening had been the American Petroleum Institute ad. You know, the one where we couldn't, the one where the American Petroleum Institute that told women that they can't have shiny red lipstick without, you know, petrochemicals.
Without oil?
Yeah, without oil. I mean, you know, if we can't run that Dakota Access pipeline under the clean drinking water supply of the Standing Rock Tribe, well, I mean, y'all ain't going to get no lipstick, and we're not going to go into space anymore, damn it!
I don't wear lipstick, Bob. I don't wear makeup.
But that was the grossest, and they spent $5 million on that. I was like, fuck. But then along came the Kia ad. And it featured Melissa McCarthy. And she's driving down the road in her Kia, and the voice recognition system or the tweet reader or the text, "Melissa, we need you to go and save the whales." And so she stops and she goes and saves the whales and winds up getting body slammed by a whale into the side of the ship. And then she keeps getting asked to go and save, you know, this and save that. And it always winds up with her getting the shit beat out of her for trying to do something for an endangered species or for the environment. Melissa, you've got to save the forest. So the next scene is of her up in some old growth tree with a banner that says "Save the Trees," and some guy underneath it cuts the tree down and causes the tree to fall with her in it. Okay. And that was and I don't know, maybe people went, "Ha ha ha, that Melissa McCarthy, she sure is funny." And me, I watched it and thought, "Hey, how cool. Kia's making fun of people who try to stand up for the ability of humans and other life to continue to exist on the Earth." Yeah, Kia fail.
Oh, I got bamboozled too. I posted because, like I said, I didn't watch the Super Bowl, so I got all the commercials secondhand, and everybody, you know, ranting, raving about this commercial from Lumber 84 or 84 Lumber. And
yeah, that was too controversial. You know. Yeah, dig it. 84 Lumber's ad that shows a door being built in the wall from Mexico. That's too political. That's too controversial. But the $5 million ad from the American Petroleum Institute? Ah, fuck no.
No, but apparently, because there's the undertones of that ad, because apparently, because remember, because a friend of mine put, See, this is why I love my friends. And one of my girls posted, because I'm like, it moves me to tears. I'm so moved. You know, no wall, no band. But apparently, it was, if you go on my website, I mean, not on my website, but my Facebook page, you click on the link about that, they're saying that's the way they want it. That because, you know, if you, that's the door to legal immigration. So this company is talking about legal, you know, you're fine as long as you come into this country legally. And that door is symbolic of what Trump is saying about the door to, yeah.
So I don't know if this is going to translate, but I've got the Kia ad here. Let's see if the audio, let's see if just running the audio works for this, shall we? Hold on.
Hey, Melissa, the whales need your help.
I love whales!
Go, Melissa!
Let's check out that whale!
And slams her into
Melissa,
the side of the ship.
The trees need you.
Save the trees. Hugging the tree. Hugging the tree, kissing the tree. And now the tree gets cut down. And she falls into a miles deep crevasse.
Now the rhinos need saving.
Rhinos!
And she gets a rhino horn right up.
But it's easy to drive like one. Introducing the most fuel efficient crossover, the Kia Niro.
Did you say a rhino horn up there?
Well, it shows it. It actually shows the rhino horn coming out of the back of her safari bush jacket vest. But and then, you know, at the end, you know, the closing words. I talked over them, so I gotta fix that. Hold on, the pitch line from Kia at the very end, right?
It's hard to be an eco warrior, but it's easy to drive like one. Introducing the most fuel efficient crossover, the Kia Niro.
Oh, come on!
I would not buy a Kia Niro if you sent me the money to buy one right now.
But then Audi, from what I understand, their commercial, you know, pissed people off because it was talking about equal pay for equal women. Equal pay, women's equal pay.
But the thing, I mean, because I just spent a week in D.C. being an activist, okay? And I'm not asking for anybody to, you know, ooh, bow down to me. No. Oh, you're a hero. No. But the fact of the matter is, it's work. And you know what? The people who climb trees and do tree sits to save old growth forests, those people are brave as shit. And the people who climbed trees to try to save a mountaintop in southern West Virginia, and Massey Energy, who had a member of the Department of Homeland Security on its board of directors, and they came after them before they were publicly used. They came after them with passive denial audio weapons. Those were heroic people. And so here along comes Kia, and they say, well, you know, it's hard being an eco-warrior.
So just buy
our crappy little hybrid, and you know, at least you won't be getting flipped into the hull of a ship by a whale. Because I mean, they picked things. They deliberately made fun of things that actually matter. The whaling, the save the whales part was a direct reference to the organization that goes out and challenges the Japanese scientific research whaling ships, which scientifically research the whales and then take the whale meat back to Japan and sell it for humongous prices. And the tree hugging part, well, I mean, that was obvious. She hugged the tree and she kissed it, and then they cut it down, and it fell over into a gorge, and she fell 1,000 feet. And then there was the Arctic, you know, the ice caps are melting, and she falls into a crevasse. Because the people who do this, the people who put their lives and bodies on the line to do this are just doing it so they can be the butt of a joke from Kia.
Right.
Assholes. Yeah, the Sea Shepherd. Thank you, Marty. The Sea Shepherd Conservation Society. Right.
Try to say that 5 times fast.
Meanwhile, Jack in Shreveport points out, I heard Limbaugh today bring something up about some organization looking at the diversity of the Patriots team or coaching staff or something. Apparently the right-wing word went out to complain about the left and racial stuff today. You know, they're always aggrieved.
Oh, did you see the clip that I sent you or that I posted about Trey Crowder on Bill Maher?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was from a couple of months back. He has since moved to California.
I realized he moved out. He has a show coming up out here next month. I didn't realize he moved out here.
Well, I mean, he makes it seem like he has. Let me see if I can find it because it's worth the replay. He deserves the airtime.
Why are you looking for that? Guess what?
Yes.
You know, on my Battle of the Bulge, I've lost 15 pounds.
Excellent.
As a matter of fact, Ada Rose came off last week.
Wow.
Yeah, I. This is that part of me when I really start working out and losing weight, and then I'll hit a plateau. But right now, that was just like when I went to watch him on Saturday, and she's like, you've lost 8. I'm like, what? And I said, what, 8 ounces?
There we go. No, good on you.
So, I mean, I still got a ways to go. I'll be happy when I get to 199.9. Just to have a 1 in front of my weight bar. Because unfortunately, I weigh more than probably the front line of the. Of one of the football teams that played in the Super Bowl, I probably weigh more than some football players. And since I'm not getting paid to weigh that much, and I'm definitely not a football player, but I could, you know, I probably outweigh a couple. Because about that. But what's great about this, I could bend down and tie my shoes down. And for anybody who's ever been overweight, bending down and being able to tie your shoes is it. Or even better, going not having to use the handicapped stall because the regular size stalls are too small. Mm-hmm. Okay, go ahead and play what you're going to play.
Yeah, no, I saw this a few days ago and I thought, yeah, Tracy's going to love this. Here we go.
What's up, y'all? What do you think? You know how hard it is to make a California backyard look like tennis? You can't do it. Every tree out here has either got some sour-ass fruit growing on it or it's got them big fat leaves that like you fan a shitty emperor with or something. Don't worry, give me a couple weeks, I'll white trash it up, it'll be fine. But look, speaking of shitty emperors, he did it. He really did it. He banned Muslims. Oh, to be more exact, he banned Muslims from a very specific list of countries, none of which pose any real or immediate threat, while leaving known producers of terrorists like Saudi Arabia, Pakistan, Lebanon off the list. You know how fucking stupid this is? Look, we shouldn't be banning people based on their nationality, period. But the way he's going about it makes it even worse. Dude, having a list like that and leaving Saudi Arabia off of it would be like me going on a diet and excluding all cheeses but Velveeta. We know what Velveeta did. It's so pointless. All it does is literally ruin the lives of a bunch of good people and figuratively call the Statue of Liberty a stupid bitch. Other than that, not a lot to it. But it's made me real grateful for the fact that unlike the people from these countries, I don't have to answer for y'all sorry asses. You know what I mean? I look like you, I sound like you, I'm from where you're from. If everybody operated the way you do, I would have been turned away at the California state line. Sorry, sir, can't have you setting any crosses on fire, you understand. But that would never happen. You know why? Because on my side, we understand that we are not as groups of people defined by the worst among us. And speaking of the worst among us, I've been thinking a lot lately about how ironic it is that the worst of my people, just the shittiest of American redneck bigots, or as Trump calls them, the base, that they so loathe radical Islamic terrorists. But you do realize that philosophically, y'all are just two sides of the same ignorant shit-dipped coin, right? And I know what you're thinking, I ain't no damn terrorist. Well, just hear me out, man. You see how they treat their women? They don't even let them drive, buddy. They think their place in the house they should be subservient to men. Now, they don't let them pull their titties out. I imagine that'd be a bone of contention, but I know you could work through it. You hear me? They hate gays, love camo, ain't got much use for books. Although, like you, they do got that one. They got that one book they really like a lot. Other than that, though, to hell with them. You still with me? Because here's the best part. You're going to love this. You know how every now and then you and your buddies like to load up in the bed of one of your trucks and just ride around shooting your guns in there and screaming shit? Yeah? They do that all the time, man. All the fucking time. So I'm just saying, maybe it's about time you had a beer with these boys. Well, probably not a beer. You know, I don't know, eat some fucking goat jerky. I don't give a shit what you do. My point is, you ain't much different. And now, for the first time, because the rest of us fell asleep at the wheel in November, we're having to answer for your shittiness. So yeah, I sympathize with the people affected by this ban. But congratulations to you and Lord Commander Marmalade for executing the most fundamentally un-American action in my living memory. I hope you're fucking proud of yourself. I'm sure Jesus would be. Lastly, side note, California, if y'all do succeed, please don't deport my redneck ass, okay? I'll learn to love bicycles and kale and shit. I just got here, man.
He's brilliant. He's just brilliant.
Oh, my God.
I'll learn to love kale and bicycles and shit. And meanwhile, Michael and Madison said, "We know what Velveeta did." And he said, "Oh, Jesus, I lost it." And, of course, it goes back years and years and years to my first bout of pancreatitis. But, you know, I had to go on a Velveeta. I had to join a Velveeta 12-step program because I was at that point in time I was down to I was drinking that Tostitos cheese dip straight out of the jar, just, you know, buck the chips.
Oh my God! Seriously, Bob, you're a connoisseur. Okay.
I was a common sewer of pasteurized processed cheese food spread product.
Okay, I have one. Okay, I'm going to shock you. Now you just made me remember something, and I swore I was going to tell you. Are you sitting?
I'm sitting.
Okay, so you know I'm trying to lose weight, and so yesterday I made burgers. I made chicken burgers with grilled onions and a whole wheat bun. But check out. Not only I did a blue cheese mayonnaise. Yes.
Ha 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 ha! We have drawn her to the dark side. Actually, it's the white side. But yeah, who's counting?
The white side. When I made it, the whole time I'm making it, I heard you in the back of my head as I'm. It was blue cheese, rosemary, fresh rosemary, mayonnaise, and hot pepper sauce.
I'd LARP that up with a spoon. Again, whatever you're dipping in it, screw it. Just give me a bowl. Maybe a straw.
Well, it was funny because, see, Jan wasn't having any of it. And this is funny. I'm like, you're the white woman. And you likely, she was just in the mood. So I just made her a hamburger on white bread and fake cheese. Not Velveeta, but Kraft. So Alex said that. So I couldn't finish my burger. The problem is that since I've been eating less, my appetite, you know. I came into, there was some left over. And I figured, you know, I would use it today maybe as a dip because I have these chips that I eat where they're like, something like chips that like rice crack. I forget what they're
styrofoam. Like. They taste like styrofoam, but I know.
No, they don't. They're almonds. Almond and rice or whatever, but they don't taste like styrofoam. They're just really thin. And I'm like, you know what? That might taste really good.
Oh, not the thick Quaker. No. Okay.
No.
Because I went for a time trying to spread some peanut butter on those things to make them edible. But it just...
Oh, no. That's, you can't do that. No. But Alex must have figured out what you just said because when I got up, there was none left. And it was a substantial amount left. But it was really, I mean, you know, I'm telling you, Bob, and who else is giving me shit about mayonnaise, Ron?
Oh, Asa's probably the ringleader.
Fuck all y'all. anyway, the whole time, and I'm, as I'm squeezing the mayonnaise in the measuring, because actually it was a measuring cup. It was like a quarter of a cup of mayonnaise. And I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, it's happened.
Okay, I'm gonna give you a little secret.
Yeah.
Next time you do something like this, measure out your mayonnaise, but then put in a couple of good heaping tablespoonfuls of sour cream in it and whip that together.
Ooh.
And then build into it. And if you real nice, someday I'll give you my double secret probation blue cheese dip recipe.
Well, I think I'm good because I made
No, that sounds killer.
Oh, it was so good.
What kind of hot sauce do you use?
Red Rooster.
That works.
But what was so, like I said, I had graduated, like I said, the whole time I'm thinking, I'm like, oh, and it was, I used sweet onion, and I grilled them on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
So what was killer was the arugula.
No kale, huh?
No kale. I don't eat. I like kale in my smoothie because I can kind of control it, but I can't. I could do a kale salad every so often, but kale.
No, see, back here we understand that kale is meant to be cooked.
Yes. Or is okay. I think I've asked you this because the other day, and here we go, now we're on to the food porn portion. So the other day. Because, you know, again, Tracy's trying to eat healthy. I went to a Middle Eastern, this is this last weekend. I went to a Mediterranean, Middle Eastern, whatever, grocery store, and I got shish kebab. Now, I got some that had been marinated in yogurt. Holy mother God, it was so good.
Yes.
But since I decided, okay, well, since I'm going to do that, I'm going to make tabbouleh. Now, you know, usually with tabbouleh, you use barley.
Barley, bulgur wheat, garlic, a shit ton of chopped parsley, a little bit of tomato, right. Some cucumber.
So I didn't use barley. I used this another grain called frika. Have you ever heard of it?
No, I thought you were going to go quinoa on me.
No, I can't do quinoa. But frika, it's kind of like brown, the consistency of not so much a brown rice. But it has like a nutty taste to it. It was so good. So I made that with the parsley and the frika and the feta cheese and, of course, the cucumbers. Now, I have a question, Bob, because this is how my fevered brain works. I'm in the market, and, of course, it says Persian cucumbers. Now, do you guys have Persian cucumbers in your part of the country? Or
no, sorry. No, those are still banned in Appalachia.
Okay. Because the whole time, as I'm putting each cucumber in the bag, the only thing I'm thinking of, and I have my mom dying because she lives, you know, not far or in that part of the world, too, because I see a Persian cucumber. She's like, oh, my God, I love Persian cucumbers. I said, but those damn Muslim cucumbers. They're terrorist
cucumbers.
Cucumbers. So what are they called? What do you guys call them down there? Pickling what?
Well, I've never seen a Persian cucumber.
Well, they're the little cucumbers. A Persian cucumber is just you got the regular cucumber.
I mean, we got your straight eights. We got your pickling cukes. We got your burpless.
Well, okay, so because out here you got the English cucumbers, which are the long, skinny ones, right? And then you have your regular size cucumbers, and then like I guess a Persian cucumber is smaller than a regular cucumber, but I think maybe bigger than a you guys might call them the pickling cucumbers out there. Not quite sure. But I know goddamn well, even if they were Persian cucumbers, you wouldn't call them. They wouldn't call them Persian cucumbers out there, would they?
Oh, well. I mean, you know, maybe.
Come on.
No, they probably would call them Persian cucumbers. because at least until somebody told them that that meant Iranian cucumbers, and then they'd figure they was radioactive.
I mean, that's where my mind went as I'm putting each cucumber in the plastic bag. The only thing I could think of is if I was in another part of the country, would they even call these Persian cucumbers? Would they? What kind of world are we living in now, Bob, that I'm worried about whether they're going to call Persian cucumbers Persian cucumbers?
Well, no, it's the real world. I mean, it just is.
But just the fact that my mind even went there.
Well, you probably spent too much time with the program, Tracy. I mean, I'm not trying to run you off or anything, but.
How sad is that, Bob? That I can't even enjoy a Mediterranean meal by the way, it was really good. Because I had, of course, the grape tomatoes and the olive oil.
Yeah.
And the feta cheese.
Righteous.
And then my neighbor, because she came over with her daughter, they made homemade hummus.
Yeah, see, I still love me some hummus.
And then they brought over this pita bread that had just been made, because they went to there's a chain of markets out here that's called John's. The dad just gone to another bakery and bought, they had just made the pita bread that day. So we had fresh pita bread. We had shish kebab. I roasted vegetable, the whole tomato, pieces of onion, bell pepper, red, green, yellow, on the grill and stuff like that. And then we had beef shish kebab. We had chicken breast, chicken shish kebab, and the other F chicken thighs. Oh, my God. It was so good. And what's the beautiful thing is I'm eating real food, and I'm still losing weight. I mean, I still have a long way to go. But, hey, there's only two. Instead of three X's on my thighs, now I'm down to two X's.
I think you can beat all them X's, Tracy. I think you can.
Bob? I would be happy with just the L. I would be happy with just, I'm not even tripping on the M. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if I got to an M, because I don't want to get too cute. My head will get all big, and I'll be too cute to call into the show.
And you'll have to identify yourself as big-headed Tracy calling from her cab.
Right. I'm just trying to keep myself humble and all that. So I will be happy at a large. A large for me is a 14, and that would put me back in all my cute clothes that I have, that I stare at longingly. It's like, baby, mom and miss. Oh, and another thing, how I was having issues with my legs and my ankles? There's definition in my ankles again. It's the little things, Bob. It's the fact that I could tie up my shoes. That I put on a pair of shoes today, and they have a zipper on the side. Because I was listening to you. What did you say the temperature was where you live? Did you say it was in the 70s?
Oh, we got us some. No, we got us some 62 degrees today.
It's been cold and rainy here. I mean, it's all relative because
this ain't right. This means we'll get about 6 feet of snow the last week of April.
That's just stupid.
Don't doubt me. Don't doubt me.
There's no such thing as climate change, Bob.
Nah, this just happens. I mean, climate's constantly changing. Yeah, no one can say whether or not human beings have anything to do with it. I mean,
Speaking of climate change, I'm proud of what you. I heard of some of the about what was happening with the AIC Act bill. It sounds like it's staying alive.
Oh, it's alive. It's up and running, and we've got a good number of co-sponsors. There's a lot of excitement around it, and we've got to build momentum until we figure out a way to take back the House and Senate.
Just kill everybody.
Nah,
make them drink the water. Make them drink the water.
Well, and see, that's and by the way, that's another thing that I've noticed since the last time I was there because it's been it would have been 2 years in July since I'd been there. The water fountains, I noticed a whole bunch of water fountains in Cannon, the Cannon House Office Building especially. And by the way, the Cannon is the oldest of the House Office Buildings. You might be interested to know this.
I'm listening.
You know how sometimes you'll have, like, water fountains and there'll be one, and then there'll be a one that's below it for, like, little kids? Well, Cannon's got water fountains. Cannon's got water fountains at the same height sitting next to each other. And it took me a minute, but I looked and I went, I bet one of them had colored written over it once upon a time.
They still have those water fountains there?
The fountains are still on the wall, yeah. Dual fountains. Yeah, I'm sure nobody thinks the way I think. But wait, here's the fun part. They all had out of order, do not use.
The second one?
No, all of them. You know why?
Why so?
And instead there were bottled water containers all over the Cannon House Office Building. You know, bottled water dispensers.
GY, Bob.
Yeah, because, you know, with the little paper cups and you fill it up and you blah, blah, blah. Because Washington, D.C. has a lead problem, and it extends, you know.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Took me a minute, but I went, son of a gun. Yeah.
So you mean there's a problem with their drinking water, so what they're doing?
And so, and yes, the Republican House of Representatives has a drinking water, lead in the drinking water problem. So they promptly shut down all of the water fountains and installed instead water coolers with, you know, what are they, 2.5 gallon, 3 gallon jugs of water that, you know, turn up. You know the ones I'm talking about.
Oh, yes. And
they installed those because, you know, we can't have America's good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, gun-to-mentalist, ammosexual majority out there drinking poisonous water.
No.
And by the way, I learned, and I'll just pass this along, and then we're going to wrap it up and take care of a couple other things. But I learned something last night, and I learned things in really weird ways, Tracy. Don't ask me why, but Agnes and I were watching the incredibly awful, awful, terrible, no good, very bad Paul Verhoeven adaptation of the Robert A. Heinlein science fiction book, Starship Troopers. Don't ask me why.
I watched Xanadu, so you're okay.
So there's a character in there, and he's the same guy, and his name's Clancy Brown. And he's the same guy that played the Kurgan in the original Highlander film.
Yeah, I like him.
Well, it turns out he's the grandson of a Republican congressman from Ohio.
Uh-oh.
And I mention this because... No, that's a good story. This is back when Republicans had morals.
Oh, yeah, when was that?
And in 1947, because it took until 1947 to do this... In 1947, Congressman Clarence Brown of Ohio succeeded in getting a measure through the House, it only applied to the House, that as of that day in 1947,
it's 1947.
Yeah, going forward, it would no longer be okay to use racial epithets on the floor of the House.
Yeah, I think I saw you post that.
I mean, that kind of floored me. I guess we don't think about those things. But up until 1947, it was okay to say that word in one's remarks upon the floor of the house.
And people wonder why.
The speaker recognizes Representative Thumbass from Alabama. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise today to complain about the uppity. And that was okay. And only because of that man's actions in 1947 did good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered evangelicals have to stop saying that word and some of the other ones on the floor of the House of Representatives. So I immediately realized one of the things that was going to have to be repealed in order to keep making America great again.
Oh, yeah. Because, you know, we can't have these uppity Negroes. You know, we got to make sure they know their place. And we can only say thugs so many times. I know you got to go, but, you know, speaking of, like, the word thug and stuff like that, I watched... Yesterday was just one of those days I just was watching nonsense. I watched Xanadu, but then I watched Zoot Suit. Have you ever seen Zoot Suit, Bob?
No.
Amazing movie. My best buddy, Edward James Olmos, is in it. And it's basically a movie. They filmed the play, but it was about this riot that happened in L.A. in 1942. But it was basically about Mexican Americans and how they're being treated. And they were railroaded for a murder that they did not commit, these young men. But you know how they call black people thugs. So back then, when you said Zoot Suit, that was synonymous with Mexicans. And they, oh my God, when you get a chance, you Google it and you read about it. Do you know that they actually put a law on the book that it was against the law for you to wear a Zoot Suit in L.A.? And you could go to
no.
for having one on? Yeah. But it's one of those movies, and actually they're doing a revival of it right now. I think it's playing out here until April. And I think I'm going to try to see it. But it makes, while I'm watching it, because this happened in 1942, and you're watching the trial, and it's a total railroad job. They eventually get released on appeal and stuff like that. But I'm watching this movie, and I'm thinking about America. I think about how when we think of the 40s, the only thing we think of Gene Kelly, Glenn Miller, you know, Fred Astaire, Ginger Rogers, white people, big bands, the war effort and all, you know, John Wayne, Jimmy Stewart, all the people who fought for this country that we saw in the movies and the newsreels and stuff like that. Forgetting, or ignoring rather, not forgetting because you can't forget what you don't know, rather, right? It's more so ignoring, yeah? Is that a better choice of words?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, ignoring the other people that, you know, that fought for this country, the Hispanic Americans, the Filipino Americans, the Japanese Americans that even though they put them in internment camps, still fought for this country. The black Americans who still fought for this country that even though they, when they would come home from war, were lynched in their uniform. But still we fought because we love our country.
Exactly.
But then we have this fool in office who's saying that people who look like me don't belong. Then we have these fools that the diamond and satin and all those two bitches clattering around saying Donald Trump is and he's our savior and all this. Bitches, please, do you not realize they don't give a damn about you, you stupid Uncle Tom? We are the backbone of this country. Nobody should ever be denied entry into this country who wants to become an American, who want to live the dream that is, or the promise that is this country. And when I'm watching this movie, when I was watching this movie last night, I just kept thinking about all the stories that are untold, all the things that we will never know about unless we find movies like Zoot Suit, or we watch movies like Devil with the Blue Dress On, and stuff, and see what it was the other side of the coin or the country we don't know. That, you know, it wasn't just the fact that it wasn't just white people. And I firmly believe, Bob, in the very bottom of every fiber of my being, if it was taught in school, if the true history that this country was taught in school, and the true contributions, especially, you know, with black people, because like I said, I wrote a paper, the sum total of my knowledge of black history was we were slaves, Lincoln freed us, and then there was Martin Luther King. That was it. Let's not even talk about what, you know, we got a little bit about the Indians. I don't even really remember. I did remember something about the Asians, about the railroad, and that was it.
Yeah.
Nothing about the Mexicans.
No, and I mean, the stuff that goes with early colonization, no.
Well, no. So, I feel that we've been taught from Jump Street, you know, like, you know, let's not forget that your boy Pence.
You wash your mouth out, my boy Pence.
Gave a shout out to Lincoln for Black History Month. You stupid motherfucker, it was Carter G. Woodson, Dr. Carter G. Woodson.
From Fayette County, West Virginia.
There you go. Absolutely.
Where I live.
That had the inception of Negro History Week. Why in February, that particular week in February, to commemorate the birthdays of not only Abraham Lincoln, you stupid racist bastard, but Frederick Douglass as well.
And there we go. Exactly.
And there we go. And on that note, mic drop, I'm out. Welcome home, my love. Oh, God, don't go away for so long. I know you had to go away, but this was yes, you know how horrible, but it was even more horrifying because I didn't have you to call and vent. Or even if I didn't call, but just listen to the sound voice of reason. Don't.
Don't worry. The 8 campaign has brokered the 10 commandments and poor as Job's turkey. So we probably won't be going anywhere anytime soon unless we figure out a way to raise some funds.
Okay. Well, okay. Please. And on that note, I'm out. Good night, y'all. I'll be listening to the rest of the show on Tune In Radio, let's crash it. Good night.
We'll cross our fingers. Tracy, you take care, dear.
You too, my love. Good night.
Bye now. Oh, and by the way, Agnes disagreed with me on the issue of the Kia ad. She said a few minutes ago when we were talking about it, and I said it kind of pissed me off. She said, the ad nailed it with Melissa McCarthy. Eco warriors are beaten and abused. Maybe that's what it was about. Agnes's instincts are a lot better than mine sometimes. And, hey, thank you very kindly to Colin in Illinois. We are down to only $140 to go with 27 minutes remaining in the program. Only $140 to go for Shirley's challenge for the first broadcast of the month of February. Thanks, Colin, very kindly. Thanks for jumping in with Jeremy in Vermont. It means a great deal, and thank you for jumping in alongside. There we go. I don't want to leave anybody out. Alongside Glenn, thank you, Glenn, and thank you, Jeremy, and thank you, Colin. So far, that's $60 that get doubled to $120, and $140 left to go. Thanks very much indeed. Let's run over to the stress line and see if Todd's still there. Hey, Todd.
Yo, bye.
Todd, you got to be there, man.
Are you there?
Stand by.
Look.
Okay, Todd's bailed on the stress line, and he'll be back with us. He'll be back with us on the other line momentarily. Mm-hmm. So that'll work out nicely. So yesterday, Tracy talking about feasting yesterday, I've been a week away from Secret Sandwich Society, and they had their wonderful Reubens on, so that's what Agnes and I had for our Super Bowl feast. It was magnificent, just yummy as can be. All right, let's try this again. Are you there, Todd?
I am here.
I'm so glad.
Oh, okay. So, you made it back from the disgusting area that we call D.C.,
Well, I mean, I don't hate D.C., but it's definitely a different place now that the Tangerine Tiberius is in charge.
Yes. You know what's funny? That's kind of what I meant. It was funny because last week, when the Secretary of State was, when he officially got sworn in, I mean, I stayed at the Washington Circle right up the street from the State Department, like, more times than I have toes and hands and feet and all that kind of shit. I mean, it's right up Wisconsin Avenue.
I know the area. Not well, but I know the area.
Right. And, I mean, because you keep going straight up Wisconsin, that's where Embassy Row is. That's where the embassies are. No. And they don't even look like embassies. There's this fucking nice-looking suburban
beautiful, houses. Yeah, beautiful old houses. Mansions, really.
Yeah. Right, exactly. It's all wooded, it's so subtle. We don't even know what's... I'm a little fucking concerned. I'm telling you. I don't know if you already talked about this shit tonight, because I'm in the Beach of Myrtle right now. One of my good friends came down to see me, and so that's what I'm doing now.
Well, rub it but, in, why don't you? Okay, yeah, because...
No, it's off-season.
Oh, well, yeah, it's bound to suck.
Yeah.
No.
No. Come on.
Man, I was born at night, not last night.
So, this Super Bowl thing is a terror. I don't know. This motherfucker's an antichrist. He's an antichrist. And I don't know. Did you talk about how this shit is going to embolden these people?
Oh, well, I mean, we touched on it, and Richard Spencer with all of his tweeting, and yeah.
So that is disgusting. But I'm at a loss. I need someone to explain to me how this orange menace is still operating when he's clearly in violation of like numerous laws.
Well, I mean, I've got a. One, I mean, come on, Todd. You're not still operating under some sort of notion that the Republicans are ever going to impeach the goose that's laying the golden whatever, right?
Yeah, ain't no egg. Yeah. That's true. We did discuss that, right? We did discuss that. Yes. Yeah. I mean, but at some point, this shit is getting, it's just fucking old now. And, Melissa McCarthy was under my radar until my friend, she was like, he's in her. She showed me all these videos. I'm like, oh my God, this woman's talented. And I didn't even know that was her. Because I went to bed early Saturday night. And then I had no idea that was her. And we were watching it, and she was like, oh yeah, it's Melissa McCarthy. I'm like, what? That shit, I know you already talked about it, but that shit is... All right, this is what I'm trying to say. At some point, doesn't the administration have to acknowledge this shit is so fucked up where people are making fun of them because they're so inept? is so, this shit is fucked up. I mean, she came from civilization, you mean. I mean, from like a real place. You know what I'm saying? A real place.
Yeah. No, I get that.
Down here. And people are talking shit. People are fucking, a little bit angry. They're a little bit angry. And this shit cannot continue to take place. In addition,
because I was gone for a week and all this stuff happened and I can't keep up.
That's what the fuck I'm talking about. God damn it. You cannot miss.
I mean, wait. I mean, so I wake up one morning and he's pissed off Australia. You know, you got to work real hard to piss off Australia.
The fuck is this problem?
But then we find out that when he was having his Saturday night phone call with his boyfriend, I mean Putin, his owner, I mean Putin, we find out that they turned off the recording device. Now, meanwhile, every recording device in Russia was on and up and rolling.
And hot.
But they turned it off over here.
This dumb motherfucker. So, all right, I'm glad. You know what? Thank you so much. Thank you so much for what you just said. Because let's rewind just a slight bit. If, in fact, this golden shower stuff is true, which probably is, because, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. It probably is, because that's just how you roll. That's his M.O., right? That's what blackmailers do. They let you know, all right, motherfucker, keep fucking up. You know, don't, you know, remember who owns you. Don't fuck up. That's what these motherfuckers do. So now, right? So the shit. He thinks the shit was off. Man, they've got him. We're fucked. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. I don't remember laughing at all. But the only hopes we got are. The court system, and, you know, since we redefined high crimes and misdemeanors as, you know, a blowjob, how is questioning the legitimacy of a sitting federal judge who was appointed by a sitting elected president and confirmed by a sitting elected Senate, how's that okay? You got, 'cause I got nothing.
Right.
And I badly need, I want to try to handle this with as much nuance as possible. I badly need not to lose my shit on this particular story. But oh. I was just trying to catch up in preparation for this evening.
Mm.
When I saw the story all about how Nancy Pelosi, and this is over at Huffington Post, big splashy headline. Remember back in 2009 when she said impeachment was off the table with George W. Bush?
Yeah.
Or no, in 2008. It was 2008. It's 2008 because Bush was gone in 2009.
I know what you're saying, though. Yeah.
Well, yeah. A big splashy headline at Huffington Post. Nancy Pelosi slaps down Trump impeachment talk.
Fuck that.
And the story reads as follows, Todd. House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi does not think President Donald Trump has committed any impeachable offenses yet.
Wait a minute. Okay.
Pelosi held a press conference on Monday with the top Democrats on the Financial Services Committee, Representative Maxine Waters of California, and other Democrats to discuss Trump's recent efforts to undermine financial regulations. So that's when Maxine Waters gets a question about something she said recently where she declared her greatest desire is to lead him right into impeachment. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So then, naturally, they ask Nancy Pelosi, well, do you agree with that? And she said, the litany of complaints that Maxine Waters had listed were grounds for displeasure, but she said that's not ground. He's strategically incoherent and that is incompetent and reckless, but that's not grounds for impeachment.
That's fucking bullshit. I don't give a fuck what you said.
Okay, so that was my initial response too, Todd. Then I took a big, deep breath, and I thought, I hope this is not 2008 all over again, because this menace to the goddamn world has got to be removed from office peacefully and legally.
Period. Fucking period. This motherfucker.
And so I'm thinking, I can't do 2008 again with Nancy Pelosi saying, "Oh, that wouldn't be nice." And I'm really
She's
not.
Gotta go.
And I'm really not into the Barack Obama look forward and not back reboot. The Republic is in danger.
The whole fucking world's in danger. We've got a
yes.
fucking weirdo.
So the only thing I got here, Todd, is to say, maybe she said that so as not to start the frenzy yet, because when you do impeachment, you have to be ready for it.
Okay. All right.
And here's one thing I want you to consider.
Yes.
There are 109, I think there's 190 some odd Democrats in the House.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There are like 219 Republicans. That means if you take every Democrat and you can cull 26 Republicans from the herd,
we can peel them off. Right.
You can impeach you can impeach that kumquat Kaiser.
All right. Now, see, Bob, I like what you're saying, and this is why.
Because
I was all ready
to go. Oh no, Nancy, no more of this kumbaya bullshit. No.
Right. Man, no. All right. So I'm glad you had your not impressed. Right. I'm glad you had an addendum to what the fuck she said, because right. If you like Lindsey Graham has a lot of pull, because people know he works across the aisle, right? And you know he's respected. And if you listen, you know how people when people say things. I mean, it's like you're a word knower. You can. It's a lot of it's body language, a lot of it's words. You have to read between the lines. So, in my opinion, I think there's already a little. There's something. There's something cooking. Okay, well, there's the Republican Party is fractious, all right, in this respect. I really believe that, because this motherfucker's out of control. And that's why Lindsey Graham was so emboldened to be talking all that shit. And other people were, too. Because it's too much. What the fuck? This motherfucker is going to have to, all right, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but do you understand what I'm saying?
I do.
That's exactly why you said what you said. Right. That's exactly why you said what you said. Yes. Yes. And see, they don't want it. And you know what? That's chess. That's real chess. Well, that's real battle. That's real battleground shit. You can't give up your whole fucking plan. But, you know, you got to be ready and you got to be statesmanlike. You know what I'm saying? But, you can't give up the plan, but, I mean, everybody's talking about what the Horn family's been saying now for what, like 6 months? Like the motherfucker was not stable. The fucking menace, the fascist menace, who's just, it's just so much. Remember, he can't even be by himself. He's got his people, he's got his family around him, his daughter, 'Cause you know,
yeah, and now he's crazy. And now he's wandering forlornly around the halls of the White House in a bathrobe at 3 a.m.
See, I mean, there's only two ways you can go with that. There's really, honest to God, there's only two ways.
I mean, we didn't get these stories about Nixon until well into the second term and shortly before he bugged out. We are 2 weeks in, and he is wandering the White House halls in a bathrobe at 3 a.m.
But it's like fucking 2 years. This motherfucker is doing too much goddamn damage to the fucking world. I mean, there's too much shit going on right now for this motherfucker be acting up.
No, I know. Let me share something else with you just for the...
I know you got a story.
I always got a story. So you need to go over to Spiegel.de.
Der Spiegel is great, right?
Yeah, so this is the English language version.
Right.
Above the main
head... No, Der Spiegel is like the Time magazine.
Spiegel is the German word for mirror.
Okay.
Above the main headline, it simply says, Trump as Nero. And then the headline itself reads... Europe must defend itself against a dangerous president. And the piece is written by Klaus Brinkbaumer. And he says, I'm not even going to do my silly German accent because this is too damn serious.
Mm-hmm.
The United States president is becoming a danger to the world. It is time for Germany and Europe to prepare their political and economic defenses. There are times in life that really do count. Times when a person's character is revealed, when the important is separated from the unimportant. Soon, decisions are taken that will determine the further path a person takes. With some, this can be tragic, and the moment comes too soon in their youth at a time when they aren't mature enough yet to foresee all the potential consequences. They make the decisions cheerfully, and then they lead to either luck or bad luck. But countries and governments are seldom as innocent when it comes to their decisions. That's the kind of situation now approaching. The people who will soon have to decide are already grown up. They now have to start preparing, even if it will be painful. Germany must stand in opposition to the 45th President of the United States and his government. That's difficult enough already for two reasons, because it is from the Americans that we obtained our liberal democracy in the first place, and because it is unclear how the... Get these words, okay? I mean, get these words. And because it is unclear how the brute and choleric man on the other side will react to diplomatic pressure. The fact that opposition to the American government can only succeed when mounted together with Asian and African partners, and no doubt with our partners in Europe with the EU, doesn't make the situation any easier. It is literally painful to write this sentence, but the President of the United States is a pathological liar. The President of the United States is a racist. It also hurts to write this. He is attempting a coup from the top. He wants to establish an illiberal democracy. Or worse, he wants to undermine the balance of power. He fired an acting attorney general who held a differing opinion from his own and accused her of betrayal. This is the vocabulary used by Nero, the emperor and destroyer of Rome. It is the way... tyrants think. And see, he, writing in Germany, cannot use the direct analogy. Because what a differing opinion from his own and accused her of betrayal. This is the vocabulary used by Hitler, the emperor and destroyer of Germany. It is the way tyrants think.
Bob. That's it. Two Bobs.
Yeah, you only get two. Otherwise, you're gimmick infringement.
I'm not trying to be funny tonight because I'm a little bit fucking disturbed. All my people are. Everybody I know who's conscious. It's like, look, what the fuck is going on? And I'm gonna keep this succinct and very to the point. All right, because it's a lot of points that come to it. To one big data point that's very disturbing, all right? It doesn't take a goddamn genius to see. This motherfucker is right out of the page of Hitler. He's got... Now, remember we were talking about how Goebbels... His Goebbels, we know who he is, Bannon. his Goebbels was in the back. He was in the foreground, then he was in the background, right? Now he's emboldened. Now he's out. Now he's like, fuck it, I got this shit. He's swinging his balls around now, right? This is a fucking mess. This is a fucking mess. And for people who haven't been keeping up, because a lot of folks don't listen to BBC or, like, even RT, I understand they have propaganda, but they do tell some truth. You know, you just have to read a lot of stuff. For the past 20 years, more than 20 years, really, there's been a neo-Nazi movement all across Europe, in Germany, in Russia. All the brown-skinned people, like on the subway, if you're in Moscow on the subway, you probably get beat the fuck up.
Now, what is interesting, I saw a line chart the other day that showed that the numbers for Alternative für Deutschland, which is the modern neo-Nazi party, the AfD, they're actually not that great. But that the real challenge is between the Social Democrats and the Christian Democrats. Over in France, it's an entirely different story altogether, though, Todd. That country may wind up with Marine Le Pen running the joint.
Well, hey, right.
And she has promised that her first act will be a Frexit.
Because remember, they put those folks. See, this shit was boiling in France. Like, if you ever been to Paris, you ever been like to Paris. They keep those people out in exoburbs. Like most cities have what used to be an old suburb. They're called exoburbs now.
Yeah.
Because they're not all nicey anymore.
Well, and you can't afford to. According to my contact there, you can't afford to live in the city.
No, it's like New York City. It's like San Francisco, New York. It's just, you know, unless you're a fucking millionaire, you can't fucking live there. So you live in between. You know, it's like Northeast Philadelphia used to be where all the fucking, you know, firemen, cops, you know, they had no nice houses and shit out there. But they didn't allow any, because of covenants, they wouldn't allow no black folks out there. So they just kept moving out toward Bucks County, you know, and then, you know, out. Now it's like New York City in the Northeast. What they call Northeast Philadelphia, everybody's out there now. You know, if you got a little, you know, if you got a decent job. So anyway, that's an exoburb, basically. So these ex, right? That's what you're saying. That's what I'm saying, right? And this bomb is about to blow the fuck up. And this maniac, because can we not see? Number one, he's a fucking child. You don't have to respond to every goddamn thing that somebody says. And guess what? Saturday Night Live is doing a better job than the goddamn Journal. And they have
although I'm giving props to CNN for just saying we may never let Kellyanne Conway back on our air again.
Damn right.
And the thing is, all the other organizations need to do the same unless they are willing to have their credibility taken down with hers.
Well, you know what? CNN would have allowed an interview. I mean, with her, except that she would not relinquish her methamphetamine at the door. Sorry.
Did you get a couple of little a little tidbits? And Robert in Australia reminds me of one of them. A couple of little tidbits from the Trump piece with Steve Bannon as the Grim Death Saturday night.
Oh yeah.
Did you notice Trump's flag pin? It was the Russian flag.
See, this is.
I mean, they're getting real granular in their analysis. And the second thing, though, was when he was on the phone with the German chancellor.
Right.
That one line that Robert reminds me of. I'm going to write a book about my struggle and call it My Struggle. What's that in German?
Oh my God! Fucking A. Mein Kampf. My stroke. What I mean? What the fuck? I'm a little bit fucking irritated. What? How are we this asleep? Collectively, we're not asleep, but our comrades. And I don't give a fuck how you want to look at that. I don't give a fuck because we're all comrades. This is our country. We all got to live here. But motherfuckers, I'm sorry if you're fucking ignorant and stupid. Sometimes you got to listen to people you don't agree with, because maybe we know what the fuck we're talking about. So back the fuck up. Fuck up. Fuck up. This shit is not fucking funny any fucking more. Fuck that motherfucker. He's got to go. I don't give a goddamn about the Constitution. Motherfuckers have to stand up and say, look, this motherfucker is not fucking capable. He's fucking crazy. He's inept, and he's fucking just ridiculous.
And he's he's destroying the future of millions, if not billions of people. Hey, Todd, we got to get out of here, my friend, but thank you for the conversation. I really appreciate it.
Talk to you, man.
All right, see you. Enjoy the beach. Our buddy Todd calling from South Carolina, Stan, down by the shore. Maybe he'll do the shag tonight. Who knows? Not that kind. The dance, damn it. Thanks, everybody, for jumping in. Thanks for a last-minute note from Matt in San Francisco. Matt said, it's my husband's 38th birthday today. Pledging $38 doesn't seem enough, so let's add my 52 years to that and put me down for $90. So that will take us down to only $50 to go to meet Shirley's challenge. Thank you, Matt, and happy birthday to your, I'm sure, very lucky husband. And try not to throw any phones out the window, okay? Just saying. Not saying, just saying. But thank you, Matt. Thank you very much. And so I'm back, and we are done, and I'm out of here. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to all of you who keep all of this going. Thank you to our Sparky in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.